Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I am your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm your other co-host, Callie Picardo. And today we have with us our dear friend, Dr. Lillian Smith. Lillian is the senior pastor of Chevrolet United Methodist Church just outside Washington, D.C. in Maryland. And she is a mentor for the Doctor of Ministry program at United Theological Seminary. And when she herself went through the program, she started doing some deep work on helping the church reclaim its mission and living into that, and has since written a book called Rooted Again, Reestablishing Forgotten or Abandoned Connections with God and God's Kingdom Mandate. So we're excited to talk with her more about her work. And Lillian, we just first of all want to say welcome to the Better Together podcast.
Thank you. It's so great to be with you today.
Yeah.
So Lillian, start us off. Where did this book come from?
You know, this book really, is the result of my doctoral work, my doctoral project. And it became clear to me that in the congregation that I was serving, that I'm still serving, and in other congregations, a lot of congregations have forgotten just the basics of the faith that are necessary really to reach people for Christ and help the congregation grow. You know, it's not that the congregations aren't doing the work. You know, we do really good meetings. We have a whole lot of meetings. We do those well. But the deep work of the faith, prayer, discipleship, those things have been forgotten. In fact, there's like a forgotten art, truthfully. And so, yeah, this book comes out of that.
And so have you just seen that through your experience as a pastor or just being a lifelong Jesus follower? I mean, how did you come across these truths that you really expound on in the book and really the passion you had for your doctoral dissertation?
It's a great question. You know what? I have seen it really probably my entire life as a Christ follower in United Methodist, but I've also found it, I also experienced it and witnessed it, observed it as I was in different ministry settings, whether it was in the local church or general agencies or not too much campus ministry, but I've really seen it just about every place that I have served. One of the places I served was the General Board of Discipleship. And even there, in hindsight, whereas there is a heart for discipleship, there was not always the heart for the staff engaging in small groups and the like, so that we too could live that out on that job or in that ministry setting, as well as, you know, engage and invite other congregations to do it. The reality is, if we don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, what we do will not amount to anything. I can cut it to the chase.
You mean we can't just work harder? Working harder? No. Doesn't that work?
We've tried that. We have tried that with every good motto, open doors, open hearts, open minds. We've done all of that. But the work of the Spirit, we have forgotten, we have abandoned, we have really discarded. And that's why it spoke to me to talk about how do we need to be rerooted into in our connection with God, especially the Holy Spirit. A disciple is a student. And a disciple can only do what the teacher instructs them to do. which means if we, and it's not just the pastor, it's everybody, it's every baptized believer. Every baptized believer of Jesus Christ is a minister of the gospel. Clergy are just set aside to help order the life of the church. Let's say this. But if we have people who are not connected to the Holy Spirit, if we have people who are going to church, but not allowing themselves as students to learn from the divine teacher, Jesus, come on, by the Holy Spirit, then we are just, we're just spinning our wheels. And we see it. We see it. We're the best educated, really, I'm going to talk about clergy right now. We're some of the best educated, yet we would benefit from allowing the Holy Ghost to work through that education and into even more living out the life in the congregation. This is really for every Christ follower. It really is for every Christ follower.
Amen. I love it. Go ahead, Cal.
How do you get that though? I mean, I think there are a lot of Christians who have been going to church every Sunday. Some of them are in Bible studies. They're serving. And they've never, like, they know about the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They want to follow the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. but they don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. It's true. And it's so important for congregations and small groups to have studies on the Holy Spirit to invite. And you know what? To dispel any misconceptions or perceptions about the Holy Spirit not being welcome in the United Methodist Church or being too charismatic, et cetera, et cetera. I think people have forgotten that in the early Methodist movement, the Holy Spirit was so heavy that people would often fall out under the presence of the Holy Spirit. And laity and clergy were able to, wherever they showed up, pray, come on somebody, and they could affect change just by virtue of them being there. If we understand, you know, the Holy Spirit's in us, then wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, the kingdom of God is. And so we have lost some of that understanding. Many people go to Bible study, but I would say in a number of older congregations and more established congregations, you probably don't, we might not have as many people. I'm trying to put sugar on a vinegar. We may not have a great number of a majority of people attending Bible study. Okay. So you can't be a disciple if you're not studying, mm-hmm. you know, once a week is not going to do it on Sundays. And I could even say that we have many churches where people are not active in their prayer ministries. I don't know if they're, you know, it might also be indicative of personal prayer or the absence thereof. But any congregation that does not have a vital prayer ministry is open to the attacks and the bombardment from the enemy of our souls, who wants to destroy churches anyway, because the Church of Jesus Christ is his only competition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if we're not aware of that, there's a spiritual battle out there. If we're just going about like, hey, we're just going to be good people, good works, we're going to work harder, and not praying, not depending on that greater power of the Holy Spirit that works in and through us, not asking God even how to pray. Because I think sometimes we need to invite and say, God, show us how to pray. What do I need to be praying? What is my prayer mission that's going to help reclaim the church, that's going to help reclaim my family, that's going to help reclaim my community? God will guide us if we're open and we're asking those questions.
That's right. And you know, we are the body of Christ. Everyone in all of our congregations, we comprise the body of Christ. And if we look at it like a puzzle, every person, lay and ordained, has a piece of the puzzle. If the piece is not there, if their piece is not there, something is missing. That means some people might have a gift of healing. Some people may have a gift of discernment, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the parts of the puzzle. It is so important for people to rise up to the occasion, to learn more, to intentionally learn more about how God has gifted them, and then live it out on the team or the army of the Lord. I'm not talking about hurting anybody. If the battle is, the battle is a spiritual battle. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because I would imagine there's some people listening that are thinking, I don't know who others that are open to this. And I know part of my own spiritual journey, I don't know about yours, Lillian, was I started to realize there was more when I was around people that clearly were hearing from God more deeply. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to some of those prayer gatherings that some were at my church, some were like citywide, some were with different nonprofits I was connected with. But it was when I started to be around people that clearly had a deeper relationship with God, and I started seeing God moving. That's what helped me realize, oh, there's more. Mm-hmm. This is maybe what it looks like. And I still had to kind of learn and grow and figure out, okay, how does God speak to me? How do I hear God's voice as Callie? What are the gifts God's given me? But being around others that had similar or different gifts, but same Holy Spirit, really helped me grow. But some of it I had to seek out or notice where I saw it and be intentional about being there.
Mm-hmm. We become so sophisticated in our approach, whether education or we have grown weary of the misuses of the Holy Spirit and those types of evidences, that we've really thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And mm-hmm. and God is, I believe, wanting to correct that, especially in this post-COVID era. And it's interesting because, you know, one study just showed that that not all mainline denominations are dying. The one that has kind of bucked the trend is the Assemblies of God.
You're right. Mm. You're right. And they are decidedly Wesleyan.
Yes.
They are decidedly holiness, but they have retained mm-hmm. the desire to follow God. They have mm-hmm. They have. Yeah, they are decidedly. I was just with some Assemblies of God individuals. I went to the Rekindle the Flame event in Atlanta. It was Marietta. Hmm. And Holy Ghost inspired Methodists and a good number of Assemblies of God. And Methodists, United Methodists and Global Methodists. You're right. You're right. Even for my project. I took individuals of the congregation I serve, lay and clergy, to different churches. And one of the churches I went to was Cornerstone Assemblies of God Church in Bowie, to learn how they were able to, they do phenomenal ministry, to learn from them. What are they doing that we're not doing? In fact, when I took the leaders to the Wednesday night Bible study, their church was full of people for Bible study. Full. They probably had over 10 classes. They had something for the children. They had something for the youth. They have something for the adult. In other words, there was a fire. There was a yearning of the laity mm-hmm. to know the things of God. They wanted the more that you were talking about. And that's that fire that we used to have. You know, it's not alien to the Methodist movement, but the enemy has been very successful in extinguishing it. And yeah. For us, it's a time of stirring into flame the gift that is within us. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, I think we discount the power of prayer, Roz, probably for the same reason you said. Some is we don't want to lose control. Ha ha. Because we can't control things when the Holy Spirit is in charge. You know, when we have given the wheel to the Holy Ghost, we can't. We can't control it. Yes. Wesley, if I'm not mistaken, John Wesley said, it appears as if God will do nothing except in response to prayer. Hmm. That is a clarion call for every Christ follower and every congregation. People who are praying for their families, people who are praying for loved ones to come out of lives of addiction, people who are praying for themselves to walk into their divine destiny, their call. Yeah, God does that in response to prayer. God's not going to force it on us. And then the last thing related to prayer, I hope I'm not messing it up, but I believe it was Mary, Queen of Scots, says she fears nothing but the prayers of John Knox. Listen, the prayers of John Knox. And for, you know, those connections with God really connect us with our mandate of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the making of disciples of Jesus Christ is not just a clergy issue. It's not just a congregational issue, you know, talking about churches. It is something for every person who wears the mark of Jesus Christ. Everyone who has said, Jesus be Lord of my life, that everybody, Lottie-Dottie and everybody has that responsibility for disciple making. And we can only do it if we are connected, deeply connected to the Holy Spirit and the connections with God.
I love that. For laity, what does that? How does that disciple making play out? Are you thinking one-on-one? Are you thinking small groups? I mean, how have you seen discipleship led by people that aren't ordained clergy? They don't have any fancy titles. They just love Jesus. How have you seen disciple making really effectively lived out?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. In small groups. That's one thing, in small groups. Also, one-on-one discipleship. Mm-hmm. You know, it is very, you know, truth be told, sheep beget sheep, you know, and quite often laity have more entry place relationally than clergy do. We also see it in a service, you know. Is, you know, part of our connections with God is daily devotions, small group, Bible study, prayer, corporate prayer, and service to the world. Service is a form of evangelism also, you know, and like an example is like say, for instance, there's a activity where people are giving away food. You know, the church is giving away food and you've got laity there. And the laity can say, listen, when a person is coming for food, is there anything I can pray for you? And they pray for them right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody's deployed in the grocery store. If somebody's sick and falls out, whoever's there ideally has received the training at the church, come on, to go out and lay hands and pray and do whatever else is necessary in the name of Jesus. You know, laity ought to be praying. We all need to be praying for our communities. A lot of times, a lot of this chaos is happening because we're not only praying for our houses, or maybe we're praying for houses and not the rest of the block. But what would it look like if every person who's a part of our congregation would pray for their community, would pray for the salvations of people in their community, would pray for the safety of people in the community, would pray for the safety of the children? Don't you know it would change? Chaos would try. The enemy will try, but he would not be able to do as much as he's doing now.
What do you say to the person who says, gosh, I can't add one more thing? I'm so busy. What do you say to that person who's trying to figure out, how do I just work this into daily life?
I'd say start out with 5 minutes with God. And let that 5 minutes be a time of prayer, or maybe a song, a prayer, and then just be quiet. And then from 5 minutes next week, go to 10 minutes. Then the next week, try to go to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And there'll come a time where you'll want to spend more time with God. It will be like you yearn it. The scripture says, as a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. Oh, it'll be like something you yearn to do. They will yearn to do. Yeah. I will also say that if they're too busy to spend time with God, they're too busy. And if they slow down, they would probably see some of the tumult and the activity in their lives that needs God's handiwork, God's intervention. But God's not going to force it on us. We have to step back and allow and invite God in.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, we can pray anytime. Mm-hmm. We can pray walking. We can pray running. We can pray driving. Mm-hmm. We can pray in the shower. We can pray anytime.
I think what you're getting at, Lillian, if I'm not mistaken, is this is not just the work of the clergy. We've left it.
Oh, that's right.
We've left it to the religious paid professional.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the reason we're in the chaos that we're in, because we've given lay people a pass and mm-hmm. we've taken control, micromanaged, if you will, and mm-hmm. people haven't felt like they could or should step up in their, even in their personal lives, because that's not mm-hmm. my job. That's not what I do.
Yeah, you're right. But it is. It's everybody's job. Mm-hmm. It's everybody's call.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The mission is to go make disciples of all people, baptizing them. All people. That means everybody is engaged in this call. Everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It's not just clergy. Mm-mm.
Well, Lillian, if folks want to learn more, where can they get their hands on this amazing book, Rooted Again, Reestablishing Forgotten or Abandoned Connections with God and God's Kingdom Mandate?
Oh, they can get the book from Cokesbury, from Amazon, from Westbo. They can get it. I think they can even get it from Walmart.com. From all the major booksellers. And yeah, I pray it'll be a blessing. I really pray it'll be a blessing. And I pray that laity, when they read the book, they will see, oh, wow, this is what we can do individually and in our congregation to help impact the congregation's ministry in the community.
Amen.
Thank you again for inviting me.
Thank you, Lillian.
Phenomenal conversation. And we encourage you as our listeners to go pick up the book anywhere where books are sold, and you can Google it and find that again in the title one more time. Rooted.
Rooted Again.
Rooted Again.
Reestablishing Forgotten or Abandoned Connections with God and God's Kingdom Mandate.
That's awesome.
Well, until next time, friends, remember, we are better together. God bless.